Well, I know why you've all come here tonight. You come to hear the story. You want to hear the story. You need to hear the story. You have to hear the story. Because we live in a very complicated, broken world that seems to be changing so quickly that we don't even try to keep up with it anymore. But not tonight's story. This story never changes. That's why we love it so much. I mean, there's a star rising in the sky. The angels are beginning to sing. The shepherds are tending their flocks by night. And of course, we know the baby will be arriving soon. So tonight is the night you're waiting for, and everything is in its place. We've heard the scriptures read, and we're waiting, needing to hear that story, a story of love, a story of joy, a story of hope, all wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But here's the thing. We do not have to wait until Christmas Eve to hear this story. Sometimes Jesus comes in unexpected places and in unexpected ways, in a child's silly little game, in a broken city, and in the sound of a song. Our youngest son, Joshua, was about 5 years old that year. His dad, my husband, Mike, was traveling nonstop for his work, and I was one tired mama chasing after two little rambunctious boys by myself. I was so grateful that our oldest son, Maddie, had been asked to spend the night with a friend. I would have happily paid his mother to take him, but fortunately, I didn't have to. Josh and I had gone through the drive-in and at McDonald's. We had a picnic on the floor in front of the television, and then I collapsed into the recliner to watch the evening news while Josh played on the floor. Now, Josh had made up this really silly little game that he played all the time. He called it Unstoppable Turtle. And basically what it consisted of was him crawling all over the house, making what he believed were turtle noises. Occasionally, he would bump into a barrier, a sofa, a chair, a wall, or whatever, and he would say, "Unstoppable Turtle needs some help." And that would be my cue to get up and turn him so he could continue on his journey. I told you it was a very silly little game, but I have to admit it was kind of sweet too. I had just rescued Unstoppable Turtle from yet another obstacle when a new story caught my attention on television. It was yet another story about the Bosnian War and the siege of Sarajevo, its capital city. Now, unfortunately, there have been so many wars since then that we have forgotten the horrors of that particular war. Sarajevo was under siege for over 4 years, the longest siege of any city in modern times. Thousands of buildings were damaged or destroyed, and over 14,000 people lost their lives, mostly civilians. Now, 14,000 is just a number, but what I saw on the screen that night was not a number. It was a little boy sitting on a wooden bench in a hospital, wearing a ski jacket that was stained with blood. He looked to be just about my son Joshua's age, but he was not playing a child's game like Unstoppable Turtle. Instead, he was running his hand down the sleeve of his ski jacket as though he could wipe away the blood and wipe away the pain and wipe away the nightmare that he was living. You see, his parents had taken him and his younger brother in a wagon to stand in line for bread. When you live in a city under siege, food is hard to get, and they couldn't leave their children at home. But the bakery was shelled, and he lost his entire family in a single moment. And I have to tell you, I was just overcome by the absolute horror of that story. I mean, my little boy was safe and sound, playing a silly game on the floor. And across the world was another little boy, too busy living in a nightmare to play any game at all. And in that moment, I just lost hope. I mean, so many times in this world, things happen and they aren't right, and they aren't fair. And we lose our hope in this brutal, broken world that allows such horror to happen. Sometimes this world and even our lives can be too much for us to bear. But hopelessness and despair are the greatest weapons of the adversary. And that is why we come to hear this story once again tonight. It is a story of hope in a hopeless world. It is a story of love where love is thin upon the ground. And it is a story of light in a world that seems lost in the darkness. But it is also a story that belongs to us. And we are not just called to hear it, we are also called to sing it with the angels and to live it out again and again and again. They called him the cellist of Sarajevo. Now, he was not an important man. He was not a doctor. He was not a politician. He was not a soldier. There was absolutely nothing he could do to stop the constant barrage of mortar shells or random sniper fire that deluged his city on a daily basis. One day, there was a bombing at a bakery about a half a block from where he lived. 22 people were killed, people standing in line waiting for bread. Was it the same bakery that I saw on the news that night about the little boy who lost his family? I don't know. All I know is what one man did. So what did the cellist of Sarajevo do? He did the one thing he knew how to do really, really well. As a musician and a member of the orchestra, he took his cello to where those 22 people had lost their lives, and he played music, beautiful music. And it was the sound of hope in a hopeless city. For 22 days straight, one day for each of the victims, he played in various parts of the city. He played in the midst of rubble or at the funerals of those who had died, even in open courtyards with the constant risk of sniper bullets or mortar shells. In the midst of brokenness and pain and death, he played a song of hope. And we have come here tonight to do the same, to find that hope and be reminded of how God comes to us. You see, we really love to pretty up the Christmas story, but God did not come into a Hallmark card kind of Christmas. He came into a muddy, violent mess and the poverty of first century Palestine. He came into the world just as we know it to be, broken, sinful, violent. He came here for us, proclaiming hope and peace and love and in a world that seems to have very few of those things. And so you see, that's why this story belongs to us. Emmanuel, God with us, came to prove that God is with us, no matter how complicated, no matter how desperate our lives might be. He came to love a little boy playing Unstoppable Turtle and another little boy who had lost it all. He came to love a man who played music in the midst of destruction, and he came to love every single one of you, just as you are. No matter how dark the world or how dark our lives may seem, God loves us. You see, the baby whose birth we anticipate, he is made out of the same stuff as us. And he is made out of the same stuff as God, and he's not going to let go of either one of them. Emmanuel, God with us, that's the God of whom the angels sing. Not a God way up there in the sky who will answer our prayers with a magic wand or holy pixie dust. No, a God who comes to us in the midst of our lives. A God who knows our pain and our fears and our love and our joy. A God who laughs and a God who cries, a God who knows us inside out and loves us anyway. Most of all, a God who gives us a song of hope, no matter how broken or desperate this world may seem. One of my dearest clergy friends has a phrase that he uses constantly. I got to be honest with you, occasionally it will get on my nerves. He is always saying this to me over and over again. Sherry, Sherry, remember, evil never wins, and God always goes before us. I know that is true because of this story and because of the song that the angels sang. It's almost time now. The star is rising high in the sky, and the angels are beginning to sing their song, a song that belongs to you and to me and to everyone. My sisters and my brothers, I am bringing you good news for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of Bethlehem is born a Savior, the Messiah, and Christ the Lord. And he was born for you. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, how can we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior? And so we pray this night, once again, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to his love, his peace, and his forgiveness. We lift these prayers to you in his most holy name. Amen.